B-Pod Studios.
Giveaway. All right, it's time to maybe give away $1,000. It's the 5K a day Big Green giveaway. The keyword this hour is call. C-A-L-L. Enter the keyword call on the Fanatic app or 97.5 at Fanatic.com. You have to do that by 4:15 p.m. We'll call you if you're randomly selected and you win $1,000. Now, everyone that enters will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize we'll give that away at the end of the contest in February. Complete contest rules are available at 97.5fanatic.com. It's all brought to you by TurnersvilleJeep.com, the Delaware Valley's fastest growing Jeep dealer. Once again, enter the keyword call, C-A-L-L, on the Fanatic app or 97.5fanatic.com by 4:15 p.m. All right, it's 4 o'clock hour. It's an exciting hour. It's brought to us by Landis Block. Get your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at LandisBC.com. And they also bring us our regular Friday guest. And we're honored. We're honored on this Friday. He's in the studio. He's the great number 36, Brian Westbrook. What's up?
Hey, man. It's just Friday. You know, I came down here to see you. And, of course, I had to see Tyrone and Natalie and... Yeah, I got a problem with Tyrone every time I see him. It's always, some friction between us.
There's a clash.
Yeah.
A clash of sorts.
We don't see eye to eye.
Yeah. I love you, Brian, but you know, I just know you're going to say something wild this hour. Like, you're going to say something wild.
Perhaps.
Like, I can't get over the Reese thing. I still can't shake that.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, we talked to you already about the end of this season, but it's great to have you live and in person, and because in like 5 minutes or so, we're going to have Charles Barkley join the conversation too. But I got to get you. You know, it's lingering. The conversation of Foles Wentz. The Foles people, Brian, just won't let go.
Mm-hmm.
They won't let go. They're hugging their man. They don't want to let him get out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Where's this sitting with you here after the coaching staff pretty much settled it by saying Wentz is
our guy? Well, yeah, of course, the Howie and Doug came out and said, of course, you know, Carson Wentz is our guy. And I think as fans, we have to start realizing it's time for us to grow. It's time for us to go to the next level. And obviously, we had the Super Bowl with Nick Foles last year. We loved that. But this year, Nick came in. He couldn't get us over the hump, just wasn't able to do it. And I think now, and I'm talking about growth in a lot of different positions, not just the quarterback position. Unfortunately, on football teams, you're going to have seasons where you can say, hey, we're going to have to let go of some guys that we love, some guys that have been here for a long time for the growth of our team. We've seen some of the changes already on the coaching staff. We see Doug making some changes there. He wants to get better in some situations, some areas. And I think for the growth of this team, Carson Wentz has to be the guy. He has more talent. He has better arm strength. He has more mobility. He does all those things the right way. So he's much better of a quarterback than Nick Foles. At some point, we need Carson Wentz to grow as a player so that this team can go to the next level.
All right, well, how would you handle the situation? You know all the ramifications that are out there with this option contract. The Eagles pick up the option. He declines the option. He goes anywhere he wants, and then they get the compensatory pick. But it might not work out that way, and he might not buy out, but if he does buy out, they can franchise him and try to trade him with that way.
Yeah.
Like, how would you handle this whole thing? Would you just let him walk and say, no. Nick, you know what?
Well, the
you got to play business with him.
Of course. I mean, it's a business transaction for Howie, and at the end of the day, if you can get something for him, that's what you want to do. The hard part, and I think Doug kind of mentioned this, and I think Howie mentioned this in his press conference, that these are people that you know that have meaning to you, so you just don't want to ship them off to the worst team in the league. You want them to go somewhere that they would want to go. The problem with that is the teams that will be willing to trade you, give you something in return, those are the worst teams in the league. Those are the teams that don't have a quarterback. So Nick Foles, if you're talking about a trade situation, you're not going to a contender. You're going to a team that's going to need some help, and you're going to have to carry this football team. And that, if I'm Nick Foles, I'm a little bit concerned about that as far as going to a team that's not very good at this point in his career.
Well, and frankly, there's only a couple of teams that have quarterback openings. A lot of teams have drafted guys to make them the next one or whatever. Whether that's going to work out, it remains to be seen. But they're not going to trip somebody over that guy they've already selected. So, there's Jacksonville,
yep.
Obviously. There's the New York Giants, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There could be the Washington Redskins. Like, two teams in the division, like, would you risk trading him within the division? Would that matter to you?
You know, I've always thought that, even when I remember when Donovan got traded inside the division, I've always thought that if you don't want the guy, why does it matter who you trade him to? I've always felt that way. But if you put Nick Foles with a team that has talent at the receiver position and at the running back position, if the New York Giants find a way to get some offensive linemen, offensively, they look like a much better football team. Defensively, they'll come along if the offense is able to stay on the field. To me, that's the team that you will have to compete with. But the truth is, my feeling still stays the same. If he's not good enough for our team, if he's not good enough to make us better, to help us get to the Super Bowl, then why is he going to a different team? Why is that going to make a difference to me?
Yeah, and here's what I got to, too. The other level is, wouldn't you be able to defend a guy you know better mm-hmm. than anybody else?
You would hope so.
Why would you
Absolutely.
Be afraid of Nick Foles beating you when you know all about him and can draw up a game plan to beat him?
Absolutely true. The fear about the Giants in particular is that if they get a guy that can throw the ball over 20 yards, which Eli couldn't do last year, now you have some weapons on that team that make them hard to beat inside mm-hmm. your division. And when you're talking about home field advantage, and we've seen how that has played out in the playoffs, home field advantage is huge. If you can't win your division, you can't get home field advantage. That's going to be a problem.
All right, there are a lot of guys now that are in limbo here. There are like 8 starting positions that they have to decide on. And I'm curious to know where you would go with them. Charles is ready with us. All right, we'll get to that in a second. Let's bring on the man. Yes, he lit it up again. He called the Sixers the dumbest organization in basketball. Let's bring him in. Special day, sharing a microphone with the great Brian Westbrook is the great Charles Barkley. Chuck, what's up?
I'm good, man. Hey, you know what? Brian is my guy, man. He's one of the greatest ever, man. Hello.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it, man. No, you're the greatest ever. I tell you, every time I talk to Charles and I see him, there's always love. And there, from me to him, there's always admiration because he is the greatest ever, especially here in Philadelphia. So, special moment to have Charles on
here.
Here's
the thing about Barkley. You got to admit, Brian, everything the guy says makes national news.
That's right.
Right? Again, you made national news again last night. You said the Sixers were crazy for playing Embiid. Talk to me.
Well, he's their franchise player. The guy's limping up and down the floor. I just think that he didn't get hurt. I'm like, why would you take a chance with your franchise player who's injury prone? And he clearly was laboring. He didn't get hurt. Thank goodness for that. But I don't understand why you would even take that chance. And Brian knows this. You never ask a player if he can play. you never ask the player. The coach has to make that decision. The player always going to try to play. Like I said, the good thing about it, he didn't get hurt. But I don't even understand why the Sixers are even taking that chance with him.
Well, let me give you the other side of that. Because they had to make a statement last night, right? In town, we're wondering whether they're good enough to play these teams that are atop the East. And I don't know how you feel about it, but Indiana was one of those teams that people were saying, are they as good as Indiana? I think they wanted to make a statement last night and beat that team. Now, when you measure that, the statement against his health, where do you come out, Charles?
Well, as I said last night, I have never mentioned Indiana as a – like Ernie asked me last night, why don't we ever mention Indiana? Because they're not a contender. It's Toronto, the Sixers, the Celtics, and Milwaukee. There's 4 legitimate teams in the Eastern Conference. It's going to come down to those 4. That's the bottom line. Listen, like I say, I haven't mentioned Indiana all year. They got a good team. Nate McMillan's done a good job. But the Sixers went in there and beat them by 20. But that's not the Celtics, Toronto, or Milwaukee. That's who the Sixers don't have to beat to get to the finals. Plain and simple.
So you would have given up that game last night. It wouldn't matter to you. You lose to Indiana because you can beat them anyway.
You can beat Indiana, but like I said, you don't take a chance. Because listen, anybody, and Brian knows this, man, if you got back problems, mm-hmm. what's eventually going to happen, you're going to hurt one of your legs, whether it's a knee or an ankle, because your body automatically is going to overcompensate. And like I say, you got a guy who's a franchise player, a great player too. And I'm not taking a chance in January with a franchise player. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. That's why I criticize the Sixers.
one of the things, Charles, and I think you made a good point when you say the player will always say that he's ready to go. And so at some point, the coach has to step in and say, all right, yeah, you may think that you're ready to go, but we're still going to hold you. At what point is Brett Brown, I mean, what type of responsibility does he have to say, I know you want to play MB, but you're just not playing tonight. Well, where is his responsibility in the whole playing with the back injury type of deal?
Well, I agree with you. He has to make that decision. But also, he got to tell Jimmy Butler to shut the hell up and quit complaining, too. You know, listen, I love Brett Brown. He's got a fantastic job. But he's such a nice guy. I wouldn't let Jimmy Butler come out and say, hey, I don't like the way our offense is running. Because, listen, man, we bought you here. Shut the hell up and play. These are our two franchise guys. He's going to be our third guy. Third guy doesn't get to speak. We don't listen to the president and the vice president.
But hold on. They got to re-sign him, Chuck. They can't treat him that way.
Well, is he going to complain the whole time about not getting shots? Because Ben and Joel Embiid ain't going anywhere.
Well, you don't think he had any merit? He wasn't getting enough shots.
Well, first of all, I hate when guys complain. First of all, I've been in gym. First of all, I'm a better player than Jimmy Butler. Don't get me wrong, but I've been on a crappy team where I got all the shots. When I got traded to a good team, I got less shots, but we actually won games. That happens when you play. Yeah, when you're playing for the Bulls, you get every shot because y'all suck. When you go to the Minnesota Timberwolves, yeah, you get every shot because y'all suck. When you go play with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and J.J. Redick, you're going to get less shots. But I guarantee you, you're going to win a lot more games.
How many less shots did you ever get? Stop.
When I got traded for Phoenix, I got less shots. So we had Dan Marley and Kevin Johnson. But we actually won. We made it to the finals. That's what happens when you play with better players.
I got to check this out, how many less shots you got at Phoenix, man, because I don't know about that. Let's talk about the other. First of all, I want to get your opinion on the Eagles. But when you look at the Sixers right now, do you believe they need more to compete with those teams you were talking about earlier, the Toronto's and Boston's?
I think they probably need one more shooter. I think it's up for grabs in the East. I think there are four teams. But I don't think any of those teams. The Sixers problem, think about it. They're going to have either the first. Think about it. When they play Toronto, other than Kawhi Leonard, they probably got the next three best players in the game. If they play Milwaukee, after Giannis, they probably got the three best players. Think about that. After Kyrie, they probably got the three best players. I mean, think about what I just said, Mike. They don't have the three best players. You take away those three players I mentioned, they got a really good chance of winning the Eastern Conference. Nobody else can say that. Nobody else can say those teams I just mentioned, if you take away the star player, they got the three best next players. I mean, so the Sixers got a good shot. I think they need one more shooter. I really do. But like I say, I'll take my chances with them right now on winning the Eastern Conference right now.
Wow. All right.
That's huge.
Now, I'm looking at, you know, you see how weak their bench is, though, right now. So you're talking about when they add that one other player, that makes them better. Not like right now, right?
Yeah, I would like to see them add one more guy because they need to be deeper. But like I say, those other three teams, they're good teams, but they don't scare you. But like I say, I would like to see them add one more bench guy. That would be my preference.
Charles, quick question, and I've had this argument with a lot of different people, and it centers around the Sixers, but it certainly is about the NBA. And now we're seeing it's a guards league. We're talking about one, two, and three positions. Of course, we have the stress fours at all. And the Philly, we're centered around a big man, Joel Embiid. How do you think that matches up in the finals, in the playoffs, when the up-and-down pace gets to the Sixers? We saw what happened last year against the Celtics. They're up and down the floor, and Embiid got tired, fatigued, especially in that playoff series. How do they fare in the playoff type of situation when it's a 7-game series where teams want to run up and down the court, and Embiid has to do that consistently night after night?
Well, I think he'll be fine. I think his condition has been getting better. I think he realized that last year. But also, the key to me is going to be Ben Simmons. Now, we actually had a conversation about Ben Simmons last night because I corrected Shaq, and Kenny agreed with me. He says, we're talking about Ben. And Shaq says, Ben can be a great player not being able to shoot. And I said, that's not true. Ben Simmons can be a good player. But until he learns to shoot better, that's when he become a great player and a superstar. Listen, he's so talented, he's going to be a good player, probably an all-star. But before he can be a great player, he's going to have to learn how to shoot the ball better. But to pick it back on your point, Brian, Joel Embiid is so good inside. You can't guard him with one guy. So he's going to make the guys around him better. That's why I think the Sixers need another shooter, because you're going to have to double him. Because he's going to score, get a good shot, or he's going to get somebody in foul trouble. Because you can't, he's so massive, you can't guard him in the post with one guy. Mm-hmm. And I've actually criticized him at times. I think sometimes he spends too much time on the perimeter. Every time he shoots a three, he helps the defense. But they don't want to wrestle this big behind down on the box.
Yeah, he's, like, okay, he's saving his energy. He saves his energy a lot.
You're right. He's resting when he shoots those threes. But, listen, the guy's unguardable, and the Sixers going to be a handful. Like I said, I would still like to see him get one more big guy, one more shooter. But, man, they got a really good shot at winning the East.
I got to ask you about Ben Simmons again, because if you're on the floor, he's just unwilling to shoot the ball, which is maddening. Now, if you're playing with a guy like that, I know you'd probably be pretty outspoken about demanding that he shoot the ball. What should they do about this? He just won't shoot it.
Well, I think that's when Joel, or Brett Brown or Jimmy Butler got to take the reins. You know, I played with guys when I was getting double. I played with guys who would miss some shots and stop shooting. And I would curse them out like a dog. I said, yo, man, I don't care how many you miss. You got to keep the defense honest. That's what it's really about. That's what happened to Ben last year in the playoffs. The Celtics like, no, you're going to have to shoot the ball. So you can't wait till the playoffs if you ain't shot the ball the first 82 regular season games. So it's up to Joel and Brett Brown and Jimmy Butler and JJ too. Say, man, you got to shoot. First of all, I personally would make him shoot 100 jump shots every day after practice or before practice.
I think he does that though, Charles. He does all that stuff.
It's a mental thing. I mean, you have to want to take the shot.
He just won't pull the trigger on it. Why do you think that is?
He don't have confidence. It's very simple. Right, he doesn't have confidence in that jump shot. But like I say, he's never going to have confidence unless he's doing it every single day. The coach got to stay on his behind, and that's all you can do.
But, Charles, with that same thought in mind, I mean, he's, what, 21, 22 years old. What has he been doing the last 18 years of his life that he hasn't developed a jump shot yet? He's obviously been in the gym. He obviously has a skill set to be the number one pick overall in a high school All-American and this, that, and the other. But how is it that he still hasn't developed that shot at this point in his life, in his career?
Because he's always been better than everybody else. You don't really start playing against people as good as you until you get to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And I use myself as an example. In high school, I probably only played against two players in 2 years that were on my skill level. And probably in college, we didn't play North Carolina, Kentucky, we played Kentucky, excuse me. We didn't play Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, UCLA back in the day. So in college, I probably only played against probably 5 to 10 players that were on my level in my 3 years of college. But then when you get to the NBA, everybody can play. So you can't out-talent people in the NBA. And first of all, the coaches are too good. That's why, during the regular season, they let Ben just get where he wants to. And the playoffs, they're like, no, you're going to have to shoot the ball because you're playing against better teams, better coaches. But the reason he's so great, that got him to the NBA. But like I said, he's never going to be a great player unless he learns how to shoot. He can be a good player, but he cannot be a great player, a superstar, until he learns to shoot the ball better.
All right, let me quickly go to the Eagles, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you since they lost that game. You know, we're still talking about the Foles-Wentz thing here. Did the Eagles make the right decision? They said the other day, Wentz is their guy going forward. Would you have gone the other way?
Wow. I think that Mr. Lurie and Aaron Rosen, man, that's a huge decision, obviously. How old is Nick Foles?
29.
29, yep.
He's going to be 30 next week, I think. Yeah.
And quarterbacks can play to 35, 36, 37 years old.
Yep.
Man, I might have to go with the young kid, because before he hurt his knee last year, he was going to be the MVP. Now, but this is 2 years in a row he's had season-ending injuries. So, like, man, that's a big deal.
I know you're a Foles guy. You love the way he played in these playoffs.
I love Nick Foles. He's been fantastic. But, man, if you trade away Carson, because you clearly can't keep them both. I mean, that's just no-brainer. But if you trade away Carson and he turns into the player that was going to be the MVP a year and a half ago, you're going to look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think, man, that's what these GMs get paid for. I personally, I'm not just a fan. I don't act like I'm a football expert. I'm probably going to go with the young guy.
All right. Okay. Now, speaking of football, you know, I'm asking you, who's Dr. Afkings recommending you bet this weekend?
Mike, let me tell you something. My football has been so bad. I'm actually thinking about giving it up.
No!
Dude, I haven't won a game. Listen, I haven't won a game this playoffs.
Wow.
I mean, I'm on such a roll downhill. You know what? First of all, I'm going to lick my wounds and I'll be ready to go by Sunday. But I have not won a game the entire playoffs. I'm not going to lie to you. I have missed every game.
Here's a hint for the playoff football in the NFL right now. Go with the home team. I mean, it's hard to go against the home team. Obviously, the Eagles were the only ones.
Well, we'll talk about that when it comes to Brady.
Okay.
But you're, I know who you're going with.
You already know.
Hey, Brian. First of all, you're wrong.
you just finished telling me that you don't know what you're talking about when it comes to playoff football.
No, because let me tell you, I had the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the Saints.
Well, the Saints won at home.
At home. I know, and they both lost.
No. Saints won at home. And
you got to play.
Oh, you're talking about the points. Okay, the points.
You got to play the money line. Charles, a man of your wealth. That's a money line,
okay,
man.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, there you have
that. Don't mess with points.
I did. I lost both of those games. So that home team thing didn't work.
Okay. Well, that's different. Okay, I'm with you.
Chuck, I got to tell you, the DraftKings, the DraftKings commercials are hysterical. And you also did an episode of the Goldbergs this week. What was that about?
You know, I love the show. And it's so funny when I'm watching the show. They're talking about the kids grew up during my era. So everything and all the places they talk about, I knew all about him. And so I started watching the show when it first came on, because what happened was they call every year and ask, can they use my picture in there? And I was like, of course, it's no big deal. So then I started watching the show, and I love the show, and they asked me would I do it, and I was like, of course, I'll make a cameo, and I had a blast.
There you go.
You are all over the place, man. It's amazing. And you know, I don't know how you feel about this guy, but I'm watching the kid from Duke, and I'm seeing college Charles. When I watch Zion Williamson, I see college Charles. Do you see that?
I think he's more explosive than I am. You know, first of all, I want to know what his official height is.
He's like 6'6", right? 6'7"?
Yeah. Well, they told me, you know, they told people I was 6'6", and I was only 6'5", and 6'4" and a half. So everybody in college lies about their height. So they say he's 6'7", which means to me he's 6'5", 6'6". But he's really explosive. You know, I got a couple questions about the NBA, what position he's going to play, whether he's a 3 or a 4. And that's going to be the biggest question mark about him. Because, you know, people say we play positionless basketball. That's actually true, but not true. Because he's going to have to be able to guard a 3 or a 4.
Right.
Well, listen, man, when I see him come down on a break, I say, that's all Burn Charles right there. He explodes like you did on a break.
Hard to stop him.
Well, yeah.
I think he's a lot more explosive than I am. I think he's a hell of a talent. Like I say, I have concerns about him in the NBA because, like I say, I don't know what position.
Yeah, he doesn't shoot it well enough right now to determine where he's going to be.
Well, the thing that's interesting, I think it's going to be harder for him to play today than it would have been played in my day. Because he could have played in the post at 6'7", 6'8", because he's so athletic and physical. But in today's game, they're going to make him go out on the floor and guard those 3s and 4s. So I think it would have been easy for him to play in my day, and it's going to be easier to play today's game where they just got a bunch of little guys running around out there shooting 3s.
All right, listen, man, I got to get your prediction, even though you're in a slump. For this weekend's games, you got the Chiefs are a 3-point favorite, and the Saints are a 3-point favorite. Who you like?
I'm going. So now I'm going to listen to Mr. Westbrook on this one. I'm going with both home teams.
There you go.
All right, hey, you're copping out. All right.
No.
All right.
We got to ask Charles about the Pacquiao fight this weekend. I know he's a big boxing fan as well.
Yeah, Pacquiao.
Listen, I'm not even going to watch that scene. Stop it. That ain't even worth watching.
Adrian Bruner is back again.
Listen, man, I hate when guys are past their prime and just fighting because they need money.
Mm-hmm.
And that bothers me so much. Manny Pacquiao is one of the greatest ever. First of all, I don't know how in the hell he lost all that money. But
goes
these
fast.
Guys just go out there and just still fighting way past their prime. I'm not even going to lie. I'm not even going to watch it.
There you go.
All right. Listen, Dr. F. Kings, thanks for coming on today. Continued success to you.
Brian, you know, I got number love, man. You're one of the greatest ever to do it in Philly. Mike, I'll see you this summer, my brother.
All right. You got it, bro.
Take care.
We'll talk to you.
All right, guys.
All right. There he is. Charles Barkley.
Doesn't get better than that.
No, that's cool.
No. Doesn't get better than Charles.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll tell you my Charles Barkley story after the break.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We got to make our picks, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about
that. I'm going against you, boy.
You're out of your
mind.
I'm
going against your boy.
And Patty Mahomes, you're out of your mind.
We'll see what happens. Mike Missanelli Show. Brian Westbrook is hanging with us till 5. We're back after this.
Another strong win. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over 2 decades, helping our community. Sixers beat the Pacers last night 120-96 for their third win in a row. Jimmy Butler led the team with 27 points.
It beat with it to Butler on the perimeter, 7:45 to go. Jimmy launches for 3, and that's good. He got the ball from Embiid on a dribble handoff and then went right around him and got a bit of a shield by Joel, and he shoots it out Bogdanovich.
They'll play the Thunder tomorrow at home. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic. Flyers will take the ice against the Canadiens tomorrow. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 7. Brian Westbrook joins Mike in studio today until 5. Join Trey Thomas this Saturday from noon to 2 at Sprint by Arch Telecom on Concord Pike in Wilmington to pick up tickets to Mark and Trey's Super Hole Party on February 1st. Skip the line at the Slopes and stop by Buckman's Ski Shop to get your ski or snowboard rentals for the holiday weekend. Buckman's Ski Shops are family-owned. Visit Buckman's Ski and Snowboard Shops in Montgomeryville, Doylestown, and Ardmore. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic. Man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, 437, and let's get the picks, the fearless picks, Tyrone, with Brian Westbrook and myself. We're down to the Final Four, Brian, and it's going to be cold somewhere, like Kansas City, single digits in Kansas City for the kid. First time playing in this kind of situation. New England Patriots at the Kansas City Chiefs. I know where you're going.
Huge game for the young man. Patrick Mahomes, but listen, I just believe that Andy Reid has it going on this year. I think Patrick Mahomes is the hottest quarterback in the league. That didn't change last week. I know the Patriots take away what you do well, but let's say you take away Tariq Hill, then Travis Kelce has a day. You take away Travis Kelce, then Tariq Hill has a day. Let's say you accidentally take away Hill and Kelce, then Damian Williams has a day. It's just too hard to stop this Kansas City offense. The home team wins this game big. Kansas City Chiefs win this game by more than 3 points, which is the spread there, Mike.
All right.
I know you're going to like that.
I don't like that. In your heart, you're going to like that. No, I don't. Go ahead, next game.
Hey, here's the next game. I continue to believe, and I told Charles, the home teams win these deals. It's just too hard for the Rams, who, in my opinion, have a quarterback that crumbles in the clutch, to go into New Orleans and say, we're going to beat a Hall of Famer in Drew Brees, in an offense that's almost impossible to stop in the dome. The Saints win this game by more than 3 points.
Yeah, I agree with that one. And it almost looks too easy at -3, which is scaring me. That line should be a little higher because same rationale that you said. I didn't think Jared Goff's going to go in there. He doesn't have the stones to go in there and win that game. But the other one... Patrick Mahomes, the fingers are going to be a little cold. Brian, tell us what it's like to play in those kind of conditions.
Miserable. I played in Green Bay my last year in San Francisco, and I was miserable all game long because you can't get in the flow of the game. You never get sweaty. It's just totally different. It's not going to be a good feeling.
And when you get hit, it's like an electric shock.
Yeah. Because you get hit, you get the initial hit, which hurts you. Then you fall on the ground that's absolutely frozen. Yeah, not a good feeling at all.
All right, so I got the man who knows the elements. The QB number 12 knows the elements. He's going to go in there, the Chiefs, terrible postseason record. Andy Reid can't get the job done. You know as everybody. It's not going to happen for Patrick Mahomes. Maybe next year, but not in 5-degree weather. TB prevails. The Patriots outright.
Are you out of your mind?
No.
They go into Kansas City and beat them in Kansas City.
Only a 3-point line. That tells me outright for the New England Patriots. Outright.
Out of your mind.
And that ends the pick segment. Right here.
I'm disappointed with you, man. I'm disappointed with you. What's the deal with that? I mean, you've been hating on Andy Reid all season long.
This is about money for me. It has nothing to do with personal. It's not personal.
Okay.
You know, if Andy wins, you know, God bless Andy. That's not an anti-Andy
thing. Do you like Andy?
I like him. I don't dislike him.
That's not true. You kind of gave the shrug, like, I like him.
There's nothing he did to me. We had a little situation at a presser once.
You've had a situation with every coach here.
Not really. But Andy, I question. Well, that was a long time ago. But that was him. That's too hard at an Italian's going at each other. But Andy was okay. I mean, he was a pleasant man. He wasn't a bad man. He was a good man. I was critical of him because he couldn't get the job done.
Okay.
You know, they didn't cash in.
Yeah, no, we didn't cash in. I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Man, bringing up the past, making me upset.
I wasn't going to throw you in there. Yeah. I was going to let Andy take all the blame, but if you want to take some of the blame,
it's mostly Andy's fault, but I mean, you know, I was there.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to hear your Charles Barkley story.
Sounds good, yeah.
All right, that's after this. Brian Westbrook until 5. Mike Missinelli Show at 97.5. The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's 4:48. I'm with Brian Westbrook till 5. A couple things to take care of. But first of all, let me clear this thing up about Charles. Like, we found out, I forgot to mention it to him on the way out. He averaged more shots with Phoenix than he did here.
In his mind, he shot less.
He's got selective memory,
shot
man.
More, right.
Like, he never forced his way out of town. That's never in his mind. He didn't take more shots at Phoenix.
That's right.
You're damn right he would have complained he wasn't getting his shots.
Revisionist history. That's just how that works. You start, that things were much better. I never would have done that. That's what happens as you age.
No, exactly. He just says stuff sometimes. All right. Now tell me your Charles.
This is what I always tell my friends just to make me feel like I'm a big shot. And so I was in Atlanta, and that's where they shoot the TNT show. So I'm out at the club hanging out or whatever, and I walk in, and Charles sees me walk in. Now I'm with this young lady, this years ago, and Charles sees me walk in. He's talking to these people, and I'm on the other side of the glass. I'm over there. He literally knocks down all different types of people just to come out there and speak to me. Made me feel real good. Bought me all these shots and drinks and everything. And so now I'm headed to the bar to repay Charles, for buying all these drinks and stuff. And so I say, hey, I want to get him some drinks and send him a bottle or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Charles sees me at the bar, handing my credit card to the bartender. And he comes over and he gives me a tongue lashing.
Yeah, he won't let you pay.
Oh, would not
he
let me pay.
I've been out with him several times. He will not let you pay. And he will buy stranger stuff.
Yep.
Like, he'll take up dinners for people. And he's just amazing
just
that way.
That type of guy. Great, great man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He really is. All right, let's look at the Eagles here, the time we have left. Because I wanted to get your spin on some guys that are iffy to come back or whether you would bring them back or not. So let's start with two guys on offense that are banged up. You might be able to squeeze one more year out of them, but you may be better off going away from them. And that's Jason Peters and Darren Sproles.
I love Darren Sproles. I love him. This is the hard part about the business. You have to find the ability and the way to go to the next level. Because of that reason, I think you have to move on from Darren Sproles. I still think he can help a team. I still think he'll play in the NFL. I just think that at this point, you're not sure if he can be healthy long enough to help you continuously throughout the season. Again, I love Darren Sproles, but I think you have to move on for the betterment of the team to take it to the next level.
Peters?
I think almost the same thing applies to Jason Peters. Because he can't play an entire game, and I know he wasn't healthy all season long.
You got to have that continuity on that.
You have to have that continuity. You have to have a guy that can play all season long. And you just never know when's that game where something pops up because of the age, because of the injuries. And it happened to me in my last year here in Philadelphia. At some point, they're saying, all right, we want Westbrook to play, but this McCoy kid, he's a pretty doggone good. Mm-hmm. And we can't have Westbrook going in and out of the lineup like that, so we have to go younger. And they did that. And obviously, McCoy's going to be a Hall of Famer at some point. And for Peters, Hall of Famer, he just has to, you age, and that's just how it goes.
It's a hard decision. All right, receivers, Tate Aguilar, what are you doing with him?
I don't think Golden Tate fits in this offense, and I don't care if you're taking a whole another year, he doesn't fit. The reason he doesn't fit is because Zach Ertz plays the area that he operates. His entire career, he operates in the slot. That's where Zach Ertz, in the middle of the field, on the hatches, in the numbers, that's where Zach Ertz operates. He doesn't fit in this offense. And that's why he hasn't had the numbers that I think everyone expected him to. And so I would have to move on from Golden Tate.
No, you keep Aguilar, though.
Yeah, you have to keep Aguilar at that point.
All right, defensive side. Brandon Graham, Jernigan, Hicks.
I think Jernigan, I still think he has that dog in him. I think he can help you. He brings that nastiness to that defensive line. If he's healthy enough, I think he can help you. You're talking about Jordan Hicks. I still think Jordan's a good player. And I'm talking about the problem with everything that I'm saying here is that if you get rid of so many of these guys, you're talking about a totally new offensive and defensive team coming back. So you're not just reloading. You're basically rebuilding everything. And so at some point, you got to keep some guys. Hopefully, Jordan is one of those guys you can keep. But, you're talking about injuries and age, and you're rebuilding an awful lot here on this football team, and that's because you didn't draft very well lately.
All right, speaking of the draft, we talked about this a little bit. Which way do you go first round? It's supposedly very heavy on defensive tackle talent. That's the deepest part of this draft.
Yeah, I think you have to go D-line. You talk about defensive line talent in the draft. Yeah, it's really, really heavy. And on the opposite side, and I didn't mention this when Jason Peters, we're talking about him. There's not a lot of great offensive linemen in the draft. So that may be part of the problem as well. And so I think you go heavy defensive line. You got to hit, though. Because if you don't hit, you're in a bad situation. Then you're trying to get older players in free agency, and that allows you to be good for a year or two. And over time, it's not going to build the foundation.
But you
that
have
we're
to go
for.
Running back early in the draft, also
second round.
Second round.
I think you go second, third round running back. But you have to have a difference maker, especially if your quarterback health wise may not be able to carry you like he had in the past.
All right, man. We've come to a conclusion. Fast hour, bro.
Quick, man. I'm glad really Charles was. Called in, though, man.
Yeah, that was cool.
Absolutely.
And thanks for being here in person. It's good to have you in
thank
the studio.
You. Appreciate that.
Brian Westbrook, the great
thanks,
Brian Westbrook.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah,
thank you.
I saw you were bonding with Tyrone during the break.
Yeah, I know we were bonding, but next week he'll be talking bad about me.
No, we got it now. We good.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching NBC Sports Philly. Hope you enjoyed the show. We're back in the 5 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show, and we return after this.
Three in a row. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Guided Door Window. Guided's big winter sale has been extended through January. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 877-GO-GUIDER. Visit GOGUIDA.com. Sixers beat the Pacers last night 120-96 for their third win in a row. Jimmy Butler led the team with 27 points.
Now Simmons going right at that. Hayes goes to Jimmy, and Jimmy Butler with a two-hand jam. Yeah, Ben Simmons in the paint with the dish. Simmons with his fourth assist, and Jimmy Butler now with 11.
They'll play the Thunder tomorrow at home. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic. Flyers will take the ice again tomorrow night against the Canadiens. You can hear that game on WMMR at 7. Join Trey Thomas this Saturday from noon to 2 at Sprint by Arch Telecom on Concord Pike in Wilmington to pick up tickets to Mark and Trey's Super Bowl party on February 1st. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli on 97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.